Welcome to the audio podcast of North River Church. You can find out more about North River and ways you can be involved at our website, gonorthriver.org.
All right, church, I want to invite you to grab your copy of God's Word this morning. Join me once again in the book of Ecclesiastes. We'll find ourselves this morning having walked through the first four chapters of the book of Ecclesiastes, which brings us to chapter 5. We're going to cover this morning verses 1 through 7, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, in a message entitled, The Heart of the Matter. Let me just ask you, as you're making your way there, and if you don't have a Bible, you can follow along with us on the screen as the text will be up there. If you don't own a Bible, we'd love for you to grab one at our Next Steps table. Take that home with you. It'd be a great opportunity for you to immerse yourself in God's Word as we believe that God's Word, as we read it, as we begin to understand it, as the Holy Spirit applies it to our life, that it changes us. We can't leave the same way that we came. Let me just ask, as we're moving into this message, I want you to be honest with me, which is always a good thing in church, right? Because God knows our hearts anyway. God knows what we're thinking. God knows what we're feeling. God knows what we're experiencing in this moment. And God knows exactly what's going on in our life. Do you ever find yourself, if you're a follower of Jesus this morning, you've trusted Him as your Savior, do you ever find yourself walking through life almost like an atheist? I mean, do you ever find yourself just kind of walking throughout your day, and in all honesty, you've never really given a whole lot of thought to God at all? You're like, One of the things that we're going to see in the text this morning, I hope that it will just remind us of how vital it is for us to gather together and worship once every week. Solomon's going to talk with us. Remember, Solomon's the wisest man in all the world. Solomon's going to talk with us about entering into the house of the Lord, and how we should approach that, how we should look at that. I read this past week of a pastor that was walking through this text. He said, the problem is that many of us kind of believe that church on Sunday is kind of like the car wash. Kind of got dirt on the outside of your car, and you pull up to the car wash, and you put your money in, and you kind of go through, and you get clean, and then you come out on the back end, and you feel like, gosh, this is great. Life's good. I mean, things are back on track, ready for another week. And yet, if you're anything like me, and I know some of you are because I've ridden in your cars, Pastor Scott, the inside is a disaster. Amen or ouch, Pastor Scott, tell the truth. We're in church, brother. You can't lie to these people, right? How many of you have a car like that? Just be honest. Car like that? The inside, you're just thinking, that's bad. You may need a tetanus shot before you get in, that kind of stuff. How many times do we feel like that too in church? Where within, I mean, down deep inside of us, at the heart level, what's going on in us is not pretty whatsoever. But we kind of think that if we'll just slip into church, it's kind of like the Jesus car wash, where we don't have to really deal with the stuff that's inside, but if at least we show up, and we show up about twice a month, which kind of checks off the list, right? That Jesus will just kind of clean off the outside a little bit, we'll look good, and we can kind of enter back in to life. And yet what Solomon's going to do is Solomon's going to drill down beyond just the outward appearance of what's going on as we gather to worship and look deep within our hearts to expose for us what is actually going on within us. And I hope that as we leave this morning, that we'll be challenged and maybe even renewed once again of the value and the importance of God doing a work in our lives as we gather together to worship Him. I want to read the text for us this morning, and so we're going to cover Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 1 through 7, and this is what Solomon writes. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. To draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they are doing evil. Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven, and you are on the earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes with much busyness, and a fool's voice with many words. When you vow a vow to God, do not delay paying it, for He has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vow. It is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay it. Let not your mouth lead you into sin. And do not say before the messenger that it was a mistake. Why should God be angry at your voice and destroy the work of your hands? For when dreams increase and words grow many, there is vanity. But God is the one you must fear. Father, we ask this morning that you would open our eyes that we'd be able to see. You would open our ears that we would be able to hear. And that you would open our hearts and our minds that we would be ready to respond to your word and to your spirit. And we ask that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. I said this previously that many of us go through our daily week in some sense, whether we want to admit it or not, or whether we want to term it this way or not, almost as functional atheist. I mean, we really don't think a whole lot about God. And in truth, if we're honest, we don't really know that God thinks a whole lot about us as we go through Monday through Saturday. But if you'll notice, what's interesting about Sunday is we begin to think that, okay, God's interested in Sunday, right? I mean, it's the day that we gather as a body of believers, the day we gather to worship together. And if we're not careful, we'll have this dichotomy in our lives where we live Monday through Saturday almost as if God doesn't exist. And then we'll live Sunday as if, oh yeah, God does exist. And that's the reason that we come and we worship together. That's the reason that we gather together. It's interesting to me that certainly our hope would be that we're cognizant of who God is and what He's doing around us Monday through Saturday. But the beautiful thing about gathering together on Sunday as we worship together is we're able to recalibrate in our lives this God awareness. We're able to step back for just a little bit of the craziness that's around us, the schedules that we're trying to keep, the jobs that we have, the things that we're trying to accomplish in life. We're able to stop for just a little bit and able to recalibrate our lives, recalibrate our souls with an awareness of who God is and what He's done. It's one of the most beautiful things about us gathering together on Sundays is the opportunity to press pause and to focus in on the things that truly matter in our lives. You know, if you remember last week, if you were able to be here or if you were able to listen or watch the message online, you remember that we talked about how vital relationships are, and we were primarily talking about relationships with other people, but this week Solomon's drilling down on our relationship with the Lord, and if we want to all be on the same page, it's the most important relationship in our lives. Your relationship with God, your Creator, is the most important relationship in your life. And you may be here this morning, and the truth for you is that you've never taken the step of receiving the free gift of salvation through Jesus, and your relationship with God is non-existent at this point. Let me say this to you. You're in a great place today because you're going to get to hear how much God loves you, so much so that He sent His Son Jesus to transform your life. But for us who are here this morning who are believers, let me remind you that our relationship with the Lord is the most important relationship in our lives. Solomon says here, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 5, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. It's interesting to me that Solomon begins chapter 5 in this way. If you've been with us through this book of Ecclesiastes, you remember that Solomon has been walking through this buffet that life has to offer and looking at all the things that we could take pleasure in, take enjoyment in, find fulfillment in, find meaning in. And Solomon looks and he says that all of those things, apart from a relationship with the Lord, none of those things will satisfy the deepest longings of our heart. Only in a relationship with the Lord can we actually enjoy life as it was meant to live. And Solomon demonstrated that in his life. And as an old man, looking back on his life, is giving us the wisdom of what's going on in our hearts and in our lives as well. Solomon's looked and he said that all of the other things that life offers, if that's what we are valuing above everything else, it's like we're chasing after the wind. We will never grab it. We will never find fulfillment. We'll never find ultimate meaning. And so Solomon is continuing to drill down on the heart of the matter. Well, what is the big deal? How can we find meaning? How can we find fulfillment? How can we enjoy life as it was meant to live? And Solomon looks and he says, in just a grand way as he's been walking away, through a relationship with the Lord. It's the only way we will find ultimate meaning and fulfillment in life. And as he's looking here, he's emphasizing for us that this relationship with the Lord is not something that we just lightly walk into and out of. Solomon begins in chapter 5, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. To draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they are doing evil. If you're taking notes this morning, I want you to write this down. And as we think about it in relationship to us gathering together to worship, I hope for you that this morning will be an opportunity for you just to pause and do some self-examination in your own life. Allow the scriptures to search your heart. Here's the first truth. God is more concerned with our heart than our actions. You say, Michael, do you mean God's not concerned with your actions? It's not what I said. God is more concerned with your heart than with your actions. Let me illustrate it in this way. Is it possible for you to show up on Sunday morning without really any interest in worshiping God? It's possible, isn't it? You may have come in this morning that way. There's mornings that you walk in on Sunday and you're just thinking, I really don't want to be here, but I know I kind of got to be here. If I'm not here, the babies won't have anybody to watch them or whatever it may be. But you're really deep down, and it may have been the things that have been going on all week long, but you show up, and the truth is for you, you're really not interested in being here. And can I say this to you? God is more concerned with your heart towards Him than He is with you showing up. You say, Michael, so if I don't have a heart for Him, then I just don't have to come, right? No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that you need to back up from coming and say, God, I know in this moment that I'm just not feeling it. But God, I want deep down within my heart's desire, even though in this moment I don't feel like it, my heart's desire is to worship You. I want to praise You. I want to sing to You. I want to worship You. God, rekindle that fire in my heart for You. Let me illustrate it like this. Suppose you come in on Sunday and you raise your hands as we're singing. Does that make you super spiritual? No. What if you clap? Pastor Scott? We like clappers, right? What if we come in and we do all the right things? What if we come in and we participate in all the right ways? And yet the truth is, our heart is far from the Lord. Solomon gives us that scenario here. He says, to draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools. It would be better for you to come in and not do any of those things and just listen. You see, the problem is our culture's not wired that way. We're not wired to listen. We're not wired to stop and to reflect. We're wired to do things, right? We want to do something. Just, Michael, just tell me what to do. If I can just do this. And can I say to you that God's more interested in your heart as you come to worship Him than what you're doing. Because you can do all the right things and your heart can be so far from the Lord that He's looking and going, who do you think you're fooling today? But listen, when we gather together, we have an opportunity as we gather in God's house, as we gather to worship, to recalibrate our hearts to who God is and to what He's done. To look and to pause for just a second and to remind ourselves. One of the things that we see throughout the Scriptures is in the Old Testament, God puts an indictment on His people. He says, listen, you think that I'm pleased when you come in and you offer sacrifices to me, but I'm not pleased in the sacrifices that you offer. What I want is your heart. We come in on Sunday mornings, we come in to worship, not because that's just what we're supposed to do, but because our greatest heart's desire is to worship the Lord with every part of our being. That's why we come and we gather together. And so let me just assure you of something this morning. There's not a checkbox that God's keeping score in heaven of you doing the right things when you come in to worship. But God does know your heart. God knows whether your heart is directed and focused on Him, whether your heart's desire is to worship Him. And here, Solomon reminds us that if we come in and we are focused primarily on doing the right things with a heart that's far from God, he says, that's a foolish thing to do. One of the things that has been important for me as a pastor is that it's easy. Let me just be completely transparent with you this morning. It's easy for me to come in on Sunday mornings, if I'm not careful, and just do a job. Just preach a sermon. But church, I have to remind myself, God, if I preach a good sermon, but my heart's not right before you, what good is that? It's a foolish endeavor for me to seek to participate in. Listen, God's more interested in your pastor's heart than in what he does. And God's more interested in your heart than in what you do. Because the truth is, when your heart is focused on the Lord, your heart is enraptured with who God is and what he's done, it's amazing. You end up doing the right things. You end up worshiping Him in the right way. You end up showing up on Sundays ready to praise the Lord. You end up coming in on Sunday not to get a car wash, but you show up on Sunday going, I've been getting car washes all week long,
and I've cleaned the inside of my car out, and I'm ready to praise the Lord in the overflow of what's going on in my heart all through the week. Solomon reminds us that God is more interested in what's going on in our heart than in us doing the right things as we gather to worship. So maybe for you this morning, this is an opportunity for you just to pause and remind yourself that God's not keeping score on how many times you raise your hands or say amen or the fact that you're even here. God's more interested in your heart this morning. God desires nothing less than your heart looking to Him and finding its ultimate fulfillment in who He is and what He has done. Solomon continues on and he says, "Be not rash with your mouth." Don't just sing the words that are on the screen because that's the song the worship team's playing. Nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. You realize that as we gather to worship together, that the words that we sing, God hears. You know, here's the interesting thing too, and I remind myself of this as well. You can say all the right things or sing all the right words, and yet the truth in your heart is that you really don't mean it at all. You ever had a kid who got in trouble and you told them that they needed to apologize? You say, "You need to say you're sorry to your sister." Sorry. What do you know in that? You know they really don't mean that in their hearts, but in their minds, they said the right words. They did exactly what you told them to do. Could it be that that's the same thing that's going on for many of us as we sing praises to the Lord, that truthfully what we're singing, we don't mean? And there's a lot of things wrapped up in that. Maybe we don't mean those things because we're here this morning and we don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe we sing "Good, Good Father," but the truth is we've never experienced that for ourselves. We've never trusted in Jesus as our Savior and God as our Heavenly Father. Maybe when we sing that, we're just singing words and they're empty words because we've never experienced it personally in our own life. Or maybe we're singing "It is well with my soul," and the truth is, it's really not. Maybe we're singing words because they're words on a screen. And now here's the temptation. The temptation is to go, "Well, if I can't sing it and mean it, then I just won't sing it." And my pushback would be, why don't you just mean it? You see, I'm convinced that as we sing and as we worship the Lord, as we ascribe worth to Him, as we praise Him for what He's done, as we sing truth from His Word about who He is and who He's revealed Himself to be, here's the thing that happens. As we do that, it transforms us. So if we come in with the mindset of, "Well, I just got to sing those words because, I mean, people up on stage," and let me be honest with you, they know whether you're singing or not. So if you think, "I can just stand here and not sing and nobody's going to know," we talk about you on Sunday. No, I'm just kidding. We really don't. I'm just kidding. Kind of, right, Pastor Scott? Kind of. No, but that's one of the things that we do talk about. That I want for us, and I know Pastor Scott's heart's desire, is that we sing out of the overflow of what God's doing in our lives. And so if we've been walking with Him all week long, and then we gather together and we're singing. We're able to sing praises to Him because we've experienced all week long that He's a good, good Father. We may have had a rough week, but we know that He's carried us through this week, and so we can sing, "It is well with my soul," because it is well with my soul. And we can praise His name for who He is and what He's done because we've experienced that personally in our own lives. God is more interested in our hearts being directed towards Him, being enraptured in Him, than us saying all the right words, us singing all the right words.
Someone says, "Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God, for God is in heaven and you are on earth." I think that just reminds us that God's not dumb. God knows where our hearts are. God knows whether when we sing, whether we truly mean what we're saying. God knows what's going on in our hearts. It's interesting, Solomon says, as a result of that, "Therefore, let your words be few." Dads, if you're here this morning, one of the things that's funny about men is that, and ladies, you can testify to this, that guys speak less than ladies do. You ever notice that? It's a scientific fact. No, I'm serious. It is a scientific fact. Guys have a certain amount of words that they use throughout the day, and typically they're done by the time they get home. Amen? And so ladies, you are interested in having a conversation, but your word output is about twice what ours is. And so when you're ready to talk, guys have already talked out their words. So guys, here's your justification from the Bible taken out of context for you, okay? Just right there, just grab a hold of that. "Therefore, let your words be few." All right? That was free this morning. You didn't pay for that. Verse 3, "For a dream comes with much busyness, and a fool's voice with many words." Verse 4, "When you vow a vow to God, do not delay paying it, for He has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vow." You're taking notes. Here's the third truth. The first was God's more concerned with our heart than our actions. Second was God's more concerned with our heart than our words. Here's the third truth. God's more concerned with our heart than our promises. You ever made promise to God in a rough situation? Maybe a help situation. Maybe it was a difficult time. Maybe it was job related. Maybe it was, "God, if you will just save my marriage, I will do anything. God, if you'll just save my child, I will do anything. God, if you'll just give me a different job, I'll do anything. Whatever you want, God, I will do that." It's almost like we're bargaining with God. And Solomon looks and he says, "Listen, if you make a vow to the Lord, fulfill it." See, the truth is, God's more interested in your heart being directed towards Him than in promises made to Him that you never have the intention to fulfill. So when you look at that and you realize and you remind yourself that as we gather together, as we gather to worship, we may be tempted to think that what God wants is us to make promises to Him. Like, "God, I pray, listen, I heard the message and I promise I will never do this certain sin again." Or, "God, I heard this morning and the worship just stirred me up, and God, I promise that I will never again come into church not ready to sing. God, I promise." And here's the thing. God already knows our heart. And God's more interested in our heart than He is in the promises
that we make to Him that we have no intention of fulfilling. So Solomon says here, if you're going to make a promise to the Lord, make sure it's one that you have the intention to keep. Make sure it's one that's born out of a heart that's directed towards the Lord, a heart that's enraptured with the Lord. Make sure that the promises that you're intending to make are promises that are led by the Spirit of God at work within you, that this is not just something you've come on a whim to say, I'm going to do this for you, Lord. Solomon said, that's a foolish, foolish thing to do. It says in verse 5, it is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. Listen to this. Let not your mouth lead you into sin. And do not say before the messenger that it was a mistake. You ever done something like that? You ever made a promise on something and somebody asks you about it later? Or maybe you posted on social media, you know what? I'm going to lose weight this year. And then somebody asks you about it later. They're like, hey, how's the losing weight thing going? And listen, if someone asks you that and you haven't lost weight, they already know. They do. They're just kind of pressing in a little bit. They just want to see what you're going to say. Listen, Solomon says here for us, don't make these promises before the Lord and someone overhear that promise and then you're backtracking, going, well, it was just kind of one of those rash decisions in a moment. And God, if you'll just give me a new job, I'll worship you forever. And then you get the new job and you don't show up at church anymore. And somebody says, man, where you been? And you're like, I never promised anything to the Lord. Solomon looks at here and he says for us, God's more interested than our hearts than in our promises. He continues on and he says, why should God be angry at your voice and destroy the work of your hands? For when dreams increase and words grow many, there is vanity. God is not impressed by our actions. God's not impressed by our words. God is not impressed by our promises if our heart is far from Him. Solomon wants us to understand and to recognize that reality as we gather together corporately to worship Him. God wants your heart. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for your word and thank you for the opportunity we have to worship you this morning. As we sing, as we pray, as we look at your word. And Father, I ask that as we transition into a time of invitation, you would help us, give us the boldness and the courage to be honest before you today. The truth is, Lord, you know if our hearts are focused on you or not in this moment. Father, you know whether or not we are truly here to worship you or whether we're just trying to check off a box that we think you want us to check off. God, would you help us to go to the heart of the matter? And the heart of the matter is our heart before you. God, as we sit, you know our heart. Father, you know this morning whether or not we have a relationship with you through your son, Jesus. It may be that there's someone here who has never taken that step of receiving the free gift of salvation that's offered by Jesus' death and his resurrection. And for them this morning, the step that you desire that they take is that they would trust in Jesus for salvation. And your promise is that you will give them a brand new heart. Remove the heart of stone and put it, heart of flesh within. Would you give them the courage to do that this morning, to receive that gift of salvation? Father, for the believers that are here this morning whose temptation is to think that all you're focused in on is what we do or what we say or the promises that we make, would you remind us that you're every bit as interested in our heart as you are in the person who doesn't have a relationship with you, that you want nothing more and nothing less than a heart that's enraptured with who you are and what you've done. So, Father, help us not settle for a car wash Christianity on Sunday, but help us desire a heart that is focused on you, that is passionate about you, that is enraptured with who you are and what you've done, so that the natural response is to overflow in worship. That the natural response, because of where our hearts are with you, is that we do what you've called us to do. That the natural response of our hearts that are enraptured with you is that we say and sing what you've called us to say and sing. That the natural response of our hearts focused on you is that we seek to honor you with our lives. So God, work in us today. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.